Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at. Illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that'll determine what the future will bring. And I need to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views, and, well, for the next hour, they're going to be your views, because this is Open Line Wednesday, and our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. 464-8295. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. So you give us a call if there's something you'd like to talk about. And I thought maybe this evening we'd start out talking about what's really going on financially in the world. The average American has no idea how bad things really are. They don't really understand the significance of the fact that the Congress enacted legislation that will allow the Federal Reserve System to take on the debts of Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac. Now, what does that really mean? Well, we're told why they might have a $25 billion shortfall, and, well, they might have to, the Federal Reserve might have to come up with $25 billion to actually take care of the problem that they're having. But after all, $25 billion isn't that much money. But the truth of the matter is, they're simply lying. I mean, certainly some years ago, somebody anticipated that, Medicare would cost about $9 billion by the year, I think it was 1990, and of course it ended up being about $120 billion by 1990, and now it's well over $350 billion. They always underestimate. And what you're really talking about with Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac is a potential loss of $2 to $3 trillion. They actually have about $5 trillion in outstanding loans, and they could lose at least the value of half of them. And of course, then you would have the taxpayers have not only the $10 billion we now owe in the way of national debt, plus another $53 billion, if we did the figures accurately, plus another $40 billion we have as far as state and local debt. But then we'd have just another $2.5 or $3 trillion there. Let me tell you what one of the high officials in China recently said, and I quote, "A failure of U.S. mortgage finance companies Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac could be a catastrophic event for the global financial system," said Yu Yidong, a former advisor to China's central bank. "If the United States government allows Fannie and Freddie to fail, and international investors are not compensated adequately, the consequences will be catastrophic," Yu said. "It is not the end of the world, it's the end of the current international financial system," end of quotation. That's where we're ready up, ladies and gentlemen. And before this is over, the whole world financial system is going to come down, the American dollar is going to be destroyed, we're moving into a global currency, and most of our people will be impoverished. And that's why you've got to understand what's going on, you've got to help us get the word out, and you've got to prepare for the difficult times that lie ahead. Well, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. And right now we've got Mark calling from Florence, Oregon. Hi, Mark. How are you doing tonight?
Yeah, I'm doing pretty good, Dr. Stan. You sound great as usual. Always a pleasure to talk to you.
Well, good to have you with us. Do you have a question or comment?
Dr. Stan, what you're saying about the economy, I get at least in the tone of your words, the energy behind the words, so to speak, that pretty much see it as not being a reversible thing in all likelihood, that it's going to, we're just headed toward a total national and then global or simultaneous national global collapse here.
I think that's a fair estimate of what I'm saying, and I believe this is done intentionally. If you haven't read my little pamphlet on the financial meltdown, you can either get it or you can go up on our website and read my five-part series on the global global financial meltdown. It's coming. Hold on, Mark. We'll be back in just a moment. Okay. Okay, Mark. And, of course, the reason that I believe that they're doing this is because they want a world government. And you
Absolutely.
Can't have a world government if you have sovereign nations. And sovereign currencies are the hallmark of a sovereign nation.
Total
if you're going
control.
To have a global currency, you're going to have to destroy all sovereign currencies, and that means the dollar will be at the very front of those that are to be destroyed.
Total control in all spheres of human activity,
right.
all the vital activities, the economy, the politics, and the religion.
Right.
And speaking of that, Dr. Stan, in a scriptural way, of course, and also in a scriptural way to speak of, in particular, the concept, and I think you have at least strongly intimated it. If not, I haven't heard every program. You may have gone over this in detail. You may have a similar or the same view as I do. On a scriptural level, what part this country plays, especially in the book of Revelation. And as far as the concept of this country actually being Babylon the Great that is destroyed in a day, I think it's getting, with this Georgia situation, relative to Russia, relative to Israel and this country, and Iran on the side, to exacerbate matters if things do come to a head. But with the way that the United States, not the whole government, of course, as you say, that this administration, that this federal government administration that we have in this country, has done everything from the time that they came into office. Every bit of it has hurt this country and destroyed this country. And I think that they plan to ultimately destroy this country in order to bring in the actual rebirth of the Phoenix, basically as their mythology dictates that they do in their overall planning. They have to have a destruction of what they prized most, what served them most, and they turn this country into something like that in their secret agenda. And this country is further their secret agenda of bringing about this one-world power structure between the you mentioned between government and economy and religion, as it all is destined to be, as it says in Revelation.
I think you're
in the Antichrist.
I think you're absolutely right. I wouldn't disagree with you at all, and I think your analogy of the phoenix is very, very accurate. This is a mythological bird who, of course, is killed and is burned and then rises again from the ashes. And they have always already believed that this is what was going to happen. And they believe that America simply represents the rebirth of lost Atlantis. And as Atlantis was destroyed, it is to come back again in the form of the United States. Hold that moment. We'll be just back here. Well, this is Dr. Stan. We have Mark calling from Florence, Oregon. And he's just talking about the scriptural significance, the prophetic significance of what's going on today. The idea, of course, that America is to be destroyed, as it talks about in the book of Revelation. Alas, Babylon, the mother of harlots, and all the merchants of the world wept when, of course, she was destroyed in a day. And I believe that we're going to see this sort of destruction coming to America. And I believe America is the Babylon that is described in the Bible. Now, of course, there are lots of theologians, a lot smarter than I am, that would disagree. But everything I read, everything I see, and from a historical perspective, I think that this is the plan. I think Mark is absolutely right. Our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. If you'd like to give us a call, fine. Mark, go ahead. What else would you like to cover?
It occurred to me just a moment ago while you were speaking, and thank you for mentioning Atlantis in relationship to this as far as their view and what they hope to reestablish on this planet. I from what I understand, Atlantis was the source of the reasons, perhaps it, in whatever ways it may parallel today's black science, I've heard, is one aspect of what the previous Atlantis was all about that was destroyed one way or the other. But I do believe that God destroyed it.
I believe.
And I suspect strongly, I just don't know enough in detail, I haven't learned that enough about that in life so far, as to the particulars of the activities that went on at Atlantis. I'm sure people have written about it and that you have a much better knowledge than I do about that. But Dr. Stan, I wanted to mention this book. It's called America the Babylon, and you've probably heard of it, and if you hadn't, I just wanted to make sure to mention it, but it's called America the Babylon, and I actually have the book sitting here, but it's not it would take me less than a minute to get it, but I could give the title name to your producer, but I think that you would find this individual very interesting to have on your show. He's really taken it apart scripturally so that, you know, he's brought in all the scriptural support details outside of the main sayings of the Bible, which are very plain about it. The land of unwalled villages and thriving in its middle with many cattle. It gives some description. I think that's in Ezekiel 38. It may be Ezekiel 39. But when it gets to that nation that deceived all the nations, they've used this nation to do that, and they've done it through technology and through other means. But Dr. Stan, I think that it'll become a much more frequent topic of discussion in the very, very near future. I think you made history here tonight just going into this idea that this country is actually... George Washington had a vision that he was shown by an angel. He wrote it in his memoirs. I have a copy of that here. I don't know if you have it at your ministry, but from George Washington to Dmitri Dudeman, they saw the total destruction of this country. And Dmitri Dudeman's vision, as you're probably well aware, actually, in his vision that he was given, and I believe that he was by the angel, Archangel Gabriel, when he was taken up above the planet and shown the destruction of this country, before the atom bombs went off in the major population centers, and it looks like there are about 20 of them, just like the popular number of the most largely populated areas in the country today as we speak. And that, right before that happened, these nuclear detonations went off right before they did. There was a cancellation of the radio waves that he was shown radio towers that were located throughout the country in this vision also. And he could see the radio waves coming off of them. He knew that they were to protect the country through the defense communications military-type network, and that they all got knocked out with. Basically, what he described sounds exactly like an EMP blast.
Well, I think that you may very well be right, and I appreciate that so much. I'm going to put you on hold so my producer can get the title, the exact title of the book and the author, and perhaps we could track him down.
Thank you, Dr. Stan. Thank you for all the time. Pleasure to speak with you. Great show. Thank you very much.
Thank you, and let's put you on hold here. And again, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. Where did the story of Atlantis come from? Well, it came from the dialogues which Plato had written parallel at the same time he had written the Republic. And according to Plato, Atlantis was this wonderfully highly developed society that existed. And it was just the sort of utopian society according to Plato. But remember, Plato was deeply involved in the mystery religions and the secret societies of the era in which he lived. So he would have had entirely a different impression of what Atlantis was than you or I might, because, of course, the story was that, of course, a great flood came and destroyed Atlantis. And so Atlantis was lost forever. Now, of course, the Christian believes that there was a great flood at that time, but of course the reason there was a great flood was because the society was just totally corrupt, and God could not tolerate it, and as a result he brought a great flood that destroyed everyone on earth except Noah and his three sons and his wife and their daughters. So, did Atlantis exist, or was this simply a mythological story? Well, we really don't know. I suspect it may very well have, but we will never know until, of course, the Lord comes again and clarifies issues for us. But what we do know is that the people who have embraced the occult, and, of course, the people who embrace the occult have embraced the writings of Pythagoras and Socrates and Plato and Aristotle. And, of course, they always had a dual message when they talked. The one message for the common people, and that's what you're going to learn in college today. The other message about the supernatural realm and contacting the beings from the other dimension and obtaining supernatural power was a story that they never told their students. That was the average student, I should say. That was only reserved for the very, very few people like Alexander the Great, who was able to utilize the information he obtained from Aristotle, who was his teacher, and which allowed him, of course, to tap into the supernatural power, and with an army of about 35 Macedonians, to take on the most powerful armies in the world at that time, and that it was specifically the army of Darius of Persia. I think it was Darius II. And here's this massive army. It's got elephants, it's got legions, you know, of archers and legions of spearmen and legions of cavalry. And here's this little army of 35,000 Macedonians that attacks this army and wins the battle. And, of course, the elephants stampede and flee in terror. And people say, gee, Alexander must have been a great general. Well, no, Alexander tapped into the supernatural power. And that is, in my estimation, why it came about. Well, down through the ages, of course, the people involved in the occult have always looked to the restoration of Atlantis. And back in the 1600s, there was a man named Francis Bacon. And Francis Bacon was sort of one of the most important people in Elizabethan England. He was tied into the intelligence agencies, and he was certainly tied into the Rosicrucian order. And, of course, as a Rosicrucian, he actually wrote about the New Atlantis. He wrote a book by that title. And he believed that the New Atlantis would be found in the Western Hemisphere, which had been found a little over a century before by Columbus. And so they actually made arrangements for a group of Rosicrucians to come to the United States and begin to work to take over our country so that at one time in the future, the military power and the financial power of this fledgling society, which was just developing at that time in the early 1600s in the United States, or what came to be the United States, could eventually be captured by members of the secret societies. And that's exactly what happened. That story is fairly well told in the DVD entitled The Secret Mystery of America's Beginning. The Secret Mysteries of America's Beginning. I play a small part in the DVD. It's very professionally done, except for my interview, which, of course, is just my expressing the ideas which we express here, that at the time when America was founded, there were two forces. One was the Christian. The other was the occult. And the occult was really very, very weak. I mean, the majority of our people were dedicated, born-again Christians who loved the Lord. But there was a small number of occultists intent upon seizing power in this country, first of all fomenting a revolution, separating the United States from Great Britain, and ultimately, of course, taking us into this one world government and using the financial and military power of this country to accomplish that goal. And certainly, if you have not seen the second in that series, it's called Riddles in Stone, The Secret Architecture of Our Nation's Capital. You need to get those two DVDs and watch them. They're very professionally done. And, of course, both of them will help you to understand why the things are happening that are happening today. Well, our telephone number again is 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 464-8295. And, of course, this idea of the New Atlantis, the book that Francis Bacon had written, has been incorporated into this movement which we see unfolding today. In fact, we have a DVD, which is actually a talk that was given at one of our conferences by Chris Pinto, who produced the DVDs, The Secret Mysteries of America's Beginning and Riddles in Stone. And, of course, Chris talks about the New Atlantis. I think the title of the DVD is The Atlantis Connection. You can see it up on our webpage, but, of course, we hope that you'll want to get the DVD we offer, and you can call us at 1-800-544-8927, 1-800-544-8927, 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. Well, our telephone number again is 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. And let's go to Jack, who's calling from Michigan. Hi, Jack. How you doing?
Hi, Dr. Chan. I'm well tonight. Thank you. How's the weather in Santa Cruz?
Well, I it's beautiful. It's sort of day you just love to be alive.
Yeah, amen. Hallelujah. Yeah, it's been beautiful here the past few days. I think similar to Northern California, breezy, sunny, moderate temperatures, really, really beautiful. I'm reading a compilation of a previous guest on your show, And are you aware of the fact that all churches and ministries...
Hold that thought. We'll be back and give us a call if you're out there. All right, Jack, go ahead.
Okay. In the IRS code, section 508C1, it states that churches and ministries are mandated to be exempt, and money given them, of course, is deductible from income taxes. So, in essence, churches, ministries do not have to become 503C1.
501C3, right.
Okay. When already the IRS code at 508C1 has mandated them to be tax exempt. All churches and ministries are exempt from taxation according to IRS 508C1,
right.
Internal Revenue Code. And I've never heard anyone, including Pastor Whitney, divulge that fact.
No, I'm sure you're actually correct. I did not know the exact phrase or the exact part of the IRS code, but certainly I was aware of that. However, I still don't want to become any sort of a corporation because I certainly don't want the government to tell me what to do. But once you accept a 501c3 rating or one of the 501c4 rating, they control you. And so, and the other thing is, of course, if people were giving us money, and expecting to get a tax deduction, maybe they could get it, maybe they couldn't. I wouldn't want to tell them they were going to get a tax deduction and then find out the government simply did not abide by its own rules or laws. They want to be able to control ministries. They want to be able to control organizations that have radio programs because they want to control what the American people think. But you are absolutely right, Jack, I'm certain.
Well, Dr. Stan, like Charlotte Iserby has recorded in her marvelous compilation, The Deliberate Dumbing Down of America, it's designed for the purpose of enslaving the American sheeple. There's even some, I think he's a secular retired federal judge who authored the book A Nation of Sheeple. And, you know, I don't have the book. I heard the interview, but, you know, we have, obviously you have Dennis Lawrence Cuddy, you have Joan Vion. There are so many marvelous Christian authors who have documented the fact that the system, whether it's the church, the corporate government church system or the corporate government school, and you mentioned the central bank of China, who created the central banks anyway? I mean, there's got to be a core group that does all this, whatever you want to call it, legal work to create these entities that then enslave the populace. And, you know, I read in Luke 11:46-52 about how, and when I read that section, just like when I read 1 Thessalonians 5:21, where it says to prove all things and hold fast that which is good. And then 2 Thessalonians 2:10-12, it speaks to receiving the love of the truth. And when people become so immersed in the world that they you know, reject the love of the truth, reject the Savior and all the wisdom and divine guidance and counsel. And I even got into this. There's a radio station in the Ann Arbor area that's a Roman Catholic station, and there's some, I forget, Catholic Answers, I guess is what. So I called.
Hold that thought. We're going to have to bring other stations on board here. We'll be right back. Well, this is Dr. Stan. This is Open Line Wednesday. Our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. We've got Jack calling from Michigan, pointing out that there is a mention in the IRS code that ministries, even if they're not 501c3, not corporation, not government corporations, are tax deductible, and I really believe that's true. I just wanted to tell people that so that they would, with the thought in mind, that they'd donate to us, because you can never tell when the IRS will change its rules and regulations. In fact, they don't necessarily go by rules or regulations. In fact, at one time, when I was thinking of closing out my pension fund, I've forgotten even the benefits pension fund, I got to be on a first-name basis with the man in charge of the IRS for pension funds on the West Coast of the United States. And finally, after we'd talked for some time, he said, you know, Stan, he said, I'm in charge of the IRS here, pension fund claims. And he said, I don't understand these IRS regulations. There's no way anybody else can understand them. If I were you, I'd just go ahead and pay my taxes, pay the fines, and get out, because, of course, it's going to get worse and worse. And that was absolutely right. Best advice I ever got. Didn't cost me anything. But if the people of the IRS don't understand the regulations, how can we possibly hope to? And certainly Jack's point, I think, is very well taken, that the fact that the public churches do not have to become government entities by becoming corporations is absolutely true, and yet most of them do that so that they can have tax-deductible donations. Well, we are not 501c3 very specifically, because we don't want the government being able to tell us what we can say and what we can't say. And if you want, of course, donate to us, why, of course, you have to realize that we're not making the claim that we're tax-deductible, even though perhaps we are. But go right ahead, Jack. And once again, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. This is Open Line Wednesday. And, of course, Jack is carrying these ideas over to the biblical prophecies, certainly about control of the populace. Go right ahead, Jack.
Scripturally speaking, correlating these realities with proving all things and holding fast that which is good, 1 Thessalonians 5:21, and then receiving the love of the truth and acting accordingly to the love of the truth that emanates from our Creator and Savior. That's essentially 2 Thessalonians 2, verses 10 to 12. And then those who reject the love of the truth, by the act of rejecting the love of the truth, because they're so much immersed in being of the world that they reject the good news, they reject salvation, and in the process, they condemn themselves.
Well, I think you're absolutely right. I think we've got too much of that in the world today. Our job is to try to bring people into a realization that we're witnessing the fulfillment of prophecy and what is happening financially and geopolitically in the world. Hey, Jack, thanks very much for calling. I really appreciate it. Talk to you later. Bye-bye. And again, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. We've really started out talking about what is going on in the world today. Now, of course, I read the International Forecaster from Bob Chapman on a regular basis, and he's simply pointing out that Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac, by September 30th, have to go out and raise in the financial market some $233 billion. That's $233 billion, and they're going to have a very difficult time raising that sum of money, especially when almost everybody knows that they're insolvent. And of course, when you're talking about corporations that have $5 trillion in assets, and perhaps half of that, of course, has no inherent financial value, why, it's little wonder that many people would be very reluctant to be lending money to Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac, because they are, for all intents and purposes, insolvent, which is why Congress had to give the Federal Reserve permission to buy up their debt. Of course, everybody thinks it's only going to be a $25 billion debt at the most. And you're really talking about probably $2 to $3 trillion that are going to be lost before this whole debacle is over, as housing prices continue to crumble both here in the United States and throughout the world. And in some areas, in my area, the average price of a home has fallen from $775,000 a year ago to about $600,000 today. I mean, that's $175,000. and what happens in another year or two. And, of course, how much further they're going to fall, nobody knows. But I think we're in for some very, very difficult times. Collapsing property values, commercial property, private property. And if you have a question or comment, give us a call, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 464-8295. Are you making preparations? Have you made preparations for the difficult times that lie ahead? Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, and let's see who we have on the line. Who do we have on the line here?
Well, this is Mark Century.
All right, Mark. What part of the country are you from?
Well, I'm in Charlottesville, Virginia.
All right, fine. It's good to have you with us. You're hearing us on shortwave or internet?
Internet.
All right, fine. Do you have a question or comment?
I got a question for you. I wonder if you could help me sort out exactly who the bad guys are. I'm just confused, specifically. I mean, I'm pegging at the central bankers, of course, are at the core of it, multinational corporations and so on. But here's what confuses me. You know, you had a guest on previously, Lindsay Williams, who suggested from his contacts that the people in the New World Order were actually going to be helping Russia to become quite wealthy from some new oil fields they had. And so I'm confused. Is Russia part of the New World Order? Are they part of it? what we're seeing in Georgia right now adds to the confusion.
But you have to understand, Mark, you're supposed to be confused. I mean, they have left all sorts of clues out there. Have you read my book or seen my talk on the Brotherhood of Darkness?
No.
If you have a computer, you can go up and go to RadioLiberty.com and scroll down to videos and then scroll down to Brotherhood of Darkness. You can watch the talk or you can buy the book or you can get the DVD from us. We'd love to sell it to you, but basically, the story is this, and of course, it's the story of the Brotherhood of Darkness is brought out against the background of a story that was put out by Agatha Christie many years ago called The Murder on the Orient Express. And basically, it's the story of the train that ran from Istanbul to Paris, and certainly there were 12 people who got on, 13 people who got on the train in Istanbul, and there was a man named Mr. Ratzett. He was the 13th one, and he asked Inspector Perot, who was a very famous Belgian detective, to guard him. He thought his life was in danger, and of course, Perot wasn't interested in guarding somebody's life, but what happened was that that night, Mr. Ratzett was killed. And, of course, the question was, who killed him? And as Inspector Perot looked at the murder scene, he said, there are too many clues. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Our guest this evening is Mark, calling from Charlottesville, Virginia. Again, our number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. And Mark was asking me, how do we understand what's going on? Are the central bankers behind what's going on? Is it the people in the corporations? Is it the communists? And I suggested he go to and read my book, The Brotherhood of Darkness, which suggests that there are many forces that are all working for a common goal. They're separate, but they're all working towards the same goal, and that is a one-world government, a one-world religion, a one-world currency, and a one-world ruler. And, of course, I certainly the central bankers, the corporations, the communists, the Masons, the Bilderbergers, the Council on Foreign Relations, the Club of Rome, the Trilateral Commission, the Rosicrucians, the Theosophists, the New Agers, certainly the Aquarian Conspiracy, the oligarchy, the hierarchy, the spiritual hierarchy. They are all working towards the same goal. And, of course, in the story of the Murder on the Orient Express, which, of course, is the backdrop of my book, The Brotherhood of Darkness, why it is suggested that they're all involved, and they really are. They've intentionally left so many clues you'd be confused. So don't feel bad about it. Read my book. It will begin to introduce you to what's really going on today.
I will definitely read your book. Do you think that China is on board? Are they
absolutely
are they?
Absolutely. The leaders of China are on board. Who brought the Chinese Communist power back in 1959 and 1949, 1950? It was the American State Department. But they cannot let the American people know. This was a social experiment. And as David Rockefeller wrote in the New York Times in August of 1973, after they'd already killed about 100 million people. And David Rockefeller, the most powerful man in America today, the man who organized the Trilateral Commission, is the honorary chairman of the Council on Foreign Relations, and has attended every Bilderberger meeting for the last 54 years, wrote at that time, David Rockefeller wrote, the social experiment in China under the leadership of Chairman Mao is among the most important and successful in history. It was just a social experiment. The elitists understand what it's about, but the common Chinese, the average Communist Party member, has no idea. They're all energized by the same dark spiritual forces.
Are they trying to start a war over in Russia?
You're absolutely right. We're going to go to war with Russia and China, and of course it's going to be a nuclear war sooner or later. I don't know when it's coming. I just pray that it'll last. It'll be some time off, because we need, of course, to reach as many people as we can in the allotted time. And the only way you're going to reach a lot of people for our Lord is, of course, for them to realize there's a problem. And that's why I do what I do 5 hours a day, talking mainly on politics, on health, on finances. But the common denominator, if you listen to our programs regularly, is we're involved in the spiritual battle. And when people start looking for the spiritual battle, they're going to discover the Bible. They're going to discover the prophecies. They're going to get some of the things we have. We've got a great new series called The Final Countdown, the 2-5 DVD sets there by Pastor Billy Crone. And they really will begin to bring all of these things into focus. Now, Billy Crone's a pre-trib rapture minister, but that doesn't detract anything from what he has to say. Some of my best friends are pre-trib. And I don't know. I hope and pray they're right, but I don't think they are. We're not going to understand all of these things. But the important thing that we have to do is put what's going on today into a biblical perspective, and then it all begins to make sense.
Well, I do listen to your program regularly. I want to thank you. It's a real anchor in these very troubled times to hear, well, it's Dr. Stan every day.
Well, of course, you can listen.
Thank you very much.
God bless, and thanks very much for calling, Mark. Okay, fine. Yeah. Let's go to Donna, who's calling from Michigan, and our telephone number again is 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. And if you're out there in the listening audience and you're confused about what's going on, don't be. I mean, you're supposed to be confused, as Detective Perot says, as he surveys the murder scene on the Orient Express, there are too many clues. There are too many clues, and that's exactly what they've done. They've laid out a pattern of confusion, so you're not going to be able to see the forest for the trees. So, again, our number 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295, and let's go to Donna. Hi, Donna. What part of Michigan are you from?
Southeast.
Is it close to Flint?
Yes.
All right, fine. Are you listening on the Flint station, or where are you listening?
Grand Blanc.
Okay, fine. Well, anyway, do you have a question or comment?
Yes. I've had a license in Michigan for many years, and I knew it every 2 years, except for this year when I sent in my form and my money, and I've done everything as I usually do. I didn't get my license.
This is a license for what again?
From the state of Michigan.
I know, but what is the license for?
For my professional practice.
I know. What is your profession?
Landscape architect.
Okay, fine. So you're a landscape architect. You've had this. You're a license to practice in Michigan for many years. So why did they simply not give you your license back?
Because they want my social security number and my birth date.
Right.
and they've never wanted it before. Now, all of a sudden, it's crucial.
Well, of course, they're collecting all the information on us that they can, but they've got to get it one way or the other. I mean, there are more important things than fighting them on that. I'd give them your Social Security number and your birth date. But you then, of course, use your time to try to educate the people that they're collecting dossiers on every American citizen. They're actually installing video cameras every place, on street corners, certainly, on our roads, on our highways, certainly in our stores. Because, of course, they want to monitor everybody. They've planted items within our cell phones so that even if when they're turned off, they can listen to our conversations and track where we are. Everything is moving towards a police state, but you need to be able to have your income, you know, right now. And if you want to make a big issue out of this, well, you can, but I would give them your Social Security number and your the information they want. Get your license and then make your money, and then of course get involved in this battle with us, because that's not where we're going to win the battle on that issue. But I share your concern. They're tracking everybody. They're collecting dossiers on everybody. Every time you buy anything with your credit card, there's a record kept of that. Every time you buy anything with a check from a large store, there's a record kept of what you bought. And all of that goes into computers so they can track you, and they know everything about you. Go ahead, Donna.
And they now are tracking all the college students when they go into different buildings.
Right. In fact,
their card and all the senior citizen centers, all the seniors have to put their card in when they enter. So they know just where all these students and seniors are.
I think you're absolutely right. There's no question that they are tracking, and they're doing this even in some grammar schools and high schools, tracking the students all during the day. But this is what you do in any totalitarian society, and it's all done in the name of, we're from the government, we want to help you, we want to protect you. And of course, people have got to understand, they don't want to protect us. They want to control us, because they have a master plan. They intend to eliminate most of us, and anybody who doubts that needs to go to my website and see the pictures of the Georgia Guidestones there, go to Elberton, Georgia, read the Ten Commandments that come from the very pit of hell there. The first one is, maintain the world population at 500 million in constant balance with nature. And, of course, they're talking about killing off over 90% of the world's population. But they can't let the public know that, can they? Go ahead, Donna. Anything else you wanted to say before we let you go?
Thanks for your program.
God bless. And please keep listening. And please encourage others to listen. That's how we're getting the message out across America.
Absolutely.
God bless.
Thank you.
And our telephone number again is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. And as we survey what's going on financially, we find that certainly the housing industry is collapsing. The financial industry is collapsing. And actually, the profits of financial institutions, we're talking about banks, has dropped 86% in this last year. In this last quarter, dropped 86%. And of course, I mean, stop and think of it. How would you like to get a cut in your salary of 86%? Well, that's what's happened to our banks across America, and I think this is just the beginning of the collapse. And before long, of course, many of these banks are insolvent. The FDIC admits now that there are 117 banks in the United States that are insolvent, and the FDIC doesn't have enough money to pay off, of course, all the loans, all the financial obligations of those banks. The FDIC started out with about $55 billion, and it's already used about $20 billion on the banks that have gone under, IndyMac and a couple of others, and they usually go under on Friday afternoon, just after the everything shuts down, so you're not going to see it in the headlines at all. And bank after bank after bank is going down and becoming insolvent or has to be taken over by another bank. But right now, of course, they're talking about 119 banks, certainly on the edge of collapsing. And, of course, what happens when the Federal Deposit Insurance Company runs out of money to be able to compensate the people? Well, of course, if you you actually read what the FDIC says, that if you have less than $100,000 deposited in a bank and that bank collapses, the FDIC will compensate you. But did you ever notice it doesn't say when? I mean, it could be next week, could be next month, could be next year, could be 10 years from now down the line. And you have to understand that the government doesn't have enough money to actually meet all of its obligations. The federal debt today is probably about $52-53 trillion. There isn't that amount of money in the whole world. And that's just the federal debt. Then, of course, we got the state debt, the local debt, and we got the personal debt. And you're talking pretty close to, close to $100 trillion in debt out there. And it's sort of like musical chairs. You've got all this debt sitting out there. Everybody's roaming around the chairs, and the music is playing, and then suddenly the music stops, and everybody clamors for a chair. Everybody's going to be clamoring for the money to pay off the debts, and there isn't going to be the money there. It doesn't exist. It's all theoretical. It is all simply based upon debt. And when this whole debt system collapses and people are going to be required to pay off their debts, there are going to be an awful lot of people who are going into bankruptcies. But you see, they knew what was going to happen. That's why about 3 or 4 years ago, they changed the bankruptcy laws so that you could never get out of debt. And that's what it's all about. You were to become an indentured servant, the servant of those who you owe money to, and you will never be able to get out of debt in your entire life. And there's no way to get away from it, because they're going to be able to track you wherever you go. Why do you think that they want all the information on you? So they can monitor you, so they can control you, so they can enslave you. And we're moving away from freedom towards slavery. Well, our telephone number, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-800-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. If you have a question out there and you agree or disagree, we'd love to know what you're thinking. But I think we're in the most dangerous financial times of the entire history of our nation, of the entire history of the modern world, because all of the economies throughout the entire world are contracting. The economy over in China is contracting. Property values are falling in China. The stock market is falling in China. The inflation rate over there is pushing 8.5 to 9% in China. And similar in India and throughout Malaysia. You get down into Vietnam, their inflation rate is 25%. You get up into Russia, it's 30-40%. And, of course, inflation simply is the destruction of the value of your currency and everything you've worked for. Here in America, the true inflation rate is about 13.25%. That's according to Bob Chapman, and he calculates this, and he, of course, gets information from other people. The M3 is running at 15-18%. We don't know exactly, but we're going to have John Williams on here in a couple of weeks, who puts out Shadow Statistics website, where he actually calculates the M3, which the government refuses, of course, to release, because the last thing they want is for the American people to know that they're destroying their value of everything they've worked for, destroying the value of their insurance policies. You have a $1 million insurance policy, it's losing 13% a year value right now, and probably if M3 continues as it is, that's the total money and credit out there, and they continue expanding the money and credit, and they're going to have to, of course, to keep the financial institutions alive. Why, of course, you're talking about maybe about an 18% inflation rate within 6 to 9 months, but they can't tell the people that, because that destroys their pensions. It destroys the value of their stocks. It destroys the value of their insurance policy and of their annuities and their CDs and their bonds. In fact, according to Ludwig von Mises, who is, of course, the great Austrian economist, bonds are certificates of guaranteed confiscation of your wealth. Bonds are a certificate of guaranteed confiscation of your wealth. Now, at one time when we had a stable gold-backed currency, why, of course, bonds were an excellent investment. You might only get 3 or 4% on them, but remember that prices were stable in the United States from about 1810 up until, shortly before till about 1920, 1930, somewhere in there. I mean, prices were absolutely stable. They did not increase. And when you have a gold-backed currency, when you have a stable currency, prices are stable. But, of course, when you go into the inflationary spiral of fiat money systems we are, between 1971, and this quotation here comes from Congressman Ron Paul, between 1971 and the year 2005, the Fed increased the amount of money in circulation 12 times here in the United States. And the only reason we didn't have 12 times inflation, or the prices didn't go up 12 times, is because we exported our inflation to other countries throughout the world. Since 2005, they have increased the monetary aggregates, and that's money and credit, $4 trillion in 3 years. If you want the quotations, they are actually in my recent articles on Congressman Ron Paul. We have about 5 of them. We suggest you get them, you read them, you understand what's going on, and you understand that they're going to destroy the value of our currency. But, of course, that's really very important, because if you believe in a world government, why, of course, you cannot have sovereign nations with sovereign currencies. As we said earlier, you need a global currency. How will you get the global currency? You will destroy the value of the currencies throughout the world. This is what's coming, and you've got to make preparations for it, because the people who are in charge have a different worldview, because they worship a different God. Our number, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. Give us a call. We'll be back here in just a moment to wrap up this hour right here at Radio Liberty. Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, and certainly if you want information on what we're talking about, we suggest you listen to our programs with Bob Chapman, and we think his newsletter is an excellent source of information. That's the International Forecaster, and we take a number of other newsletters as well. Certainly the Wellington Letter is an excellent newsletter, and they, of course, have been analyzing what's going on for a long time, because they pretty much it charts, but they see we've entered a long-term bear market. And they're talking not about, you know, a year or two. They're talking 10 to 15 years. That, of course, we're going to be at a downturn, and the value of the homes is going to fall. The value of property is going to fall. The value of commercial property is going to fall. And more people, of course, are going to slip into insolvency. And many, of course, are going into bankruptcy, from which there is no way to get out. So we do hope that many of you over there will give serious consideration to, beginning to get the information you need. And, of course, as we talk about what's going on, we always refer to my talk on the financial tsunami, which I think is an excellent source of information. It comes with a syllabus, so you can begin to understand all of the terms that they're using. Although the talk was given 2 years ago, it is just as apropos today as it was then. And let's go to our special caller. We've got Marcus. Hi, Marcus. Where are you calling from?
Spokane, Washington.
Okay. Do you have a question or comment?
Yes, you were talking earlier about being prepared. I just kind of have a general question. I'm a contractor up in Spokane, Washington, self-employed, medium income. And in listening to your program, I'm kind of a new listener. It really kind of scares me, because it sounds like the whole collapse of the dollar.
You're absolutely right.
And what I'm wondering is, you talked about being prepared, and of course, trusting in God to take care of our finances and everything. How else can I be prepared on it if
First of all, you want to get out of debt, Marcus. You cannot have a big debt overhanging you. Secondly, you want to put aside the food and water and things that you would need for, and health supplies. And then, of course, you're going to have to, of course, to trust in God. But the first thing is, you ought to work as if it's up to you and pray as if it's up to God. But we're in for some very difficult times. On the other hand, we're going to bring an awful lot of people into the kingdom, because, of course, when things get bad, people are going to begin looking for answers. And we've got to be given there to give them the answers. We're involved in a spiritual battle being played on the financial battlefield. Hang on, we'll be back in just a moment here at Radio Liberty. Well, this is Dr. Stan. We had Marcus calling from Spokane. He's still on the line with us. And he was simply asking what we can do to be prepared. And because I told him the first thing is get out of debt. Get out of debt. Do not try to speculate. Do not think that you can beat the system. Sometimes you can in an up market, but not in the market we face today. And then he said, lay in a supply of food. And I will tell you that Mountain House, the largest producer of freeze-dried food in the United States, is no longer selling it to the public. The government's buying it all up and putting it in their stores for their people, but not for you and I. So people are going to have to look out for themselves and then lay in a supply of the various health products and vitamins and minerals and herbs that you need to look after your health and then, of course, be prepared to help others. And then, of course, be sure you're in the right relationship with our Lord, because this is the only thing that's going to see us through. Anything else before we let you go there, Marcus?
No, it was, again, a basic, simple question. You know, I've tried to start following the Ramsey law of cash and not getting into debt or getting out of debt and working on a cash basis and not getting into loans and that kind of stuff, and the whole failure of the dollar or the national economy or the global economy is kind of a scare, because where do you put your roots? Where do you put your safety?
Well, we're going to be doing a program there in KDRW, I think it is, starting on Monday. Monday it'll be 4 o'clock, 4 to 5 every day. Listen, and we'll have our financial advisors, people a lot smarter than I am, will give their advice to you, okay?
I appreciate that, and thank you. I will continue to listen. Yeah. I appreciate your program. Thank you.
Thank you so very much, and let's go to John, who's calling from California. John, we're just about out of time. Do you have a quick question or comment?
Yes, Dr. Stan. Can you advise me? I heard Tex Mars on one of his programs talking about how both of the candidates, John McCain and Barack Obama, are being financed by the same individuals, such as George Soros.
George Soros. Right, you're absolutely right. I mean, it's all make believe. It's a game. It's a charade. But we play it every 4 years.
Would it be also safe to say, when talking to an individual, that the Council on Foreign Relations is an organization whose intent is the destruction of the United States?
I think that's fair, and that's one thing you have to know about the Council on Foreign Relations is it's a front for a secret society. And that's covered in a book written by Bill Clinton's mentor, Professor Carol Quigley, and on pages 951 and 952. And Professor Quigley had studied this secret society that became the Council on Foreign Relations for 20 years. In fact, the book was so successful in revealing what was going on that somebody came in and bought up the publisher, Macmillan, destroyed the plates of the first half of the book so it couldn't be reprinted. And we, fortunately, I believe by divine providence, ended up with an interview with Professor Quigley. I didn't do the interview, somebody else did, but he tells how his book was suppressed. And you can get that from Radio Liberty along with his book. But the CFR is dedicated to the destruction of our sovereignty. It is not simply a think tank. It is a front for a secret society. And when that puts a whole different perspective, since John McCain comes from the Council on Foreign Relations, and Joe Biden was a member of the Council on Foreign Relations, and the CFR, in fact, both McCain and Obama have written articles for the Council on Foreign Relations publication, the Foreign Affairs magazine, whose logo is a naked man riding on a white horse. Anything else, John, before we let you go? We're just about out of time.
No. Thank you very much, Dr. Stan.
God bless, and thank you. Well, our telephone number, of course, if you'd like to get the information from Radio Liberty, is 1-800-544-8927. If you haven't read my book, Brotherhood of Darkness, or seen the DVD, or you can get the DVD special with the tape, the book, and either a video or a DVD. And, of course, it's all the same story, and that is that they've planted so many clues just to confuse you. Here's the telephone number for Brotherhood of Darkness, 464-8295. We also suggest our talk on the Forbidden Secret, the syllabus that goes with that, the book, The Planned Police State, the book, the syllabus that goes with that. But remember our number, 1-800-544-8927. We'll be right back. Thank you. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at. Illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that'll determine what the future will bring. And I have to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views, the views of our guest, and, well, of course, hopefully we're going to have Mr. Peter Schenck with us. We're going to be talking about global famine. Because there really is, of course, the very real possibility of a global famine. And, of course, the people who run America are doing everything they can to promote that. How are they doing that? Well, they're insisting on adding ethanol to gasoline, and we're using up about a quarter of the corn that is grown here in the United States to create ethanol. And, of course, ethanol is a very inefficient means of expanding the fuel supply. Certainly, it's much easier to create ethanol out of sugar. We could import ethanol very, very cheaply from Brazil. They make it down there. We don't want to do that. They want to use up the corn crop here in the United States. Why would they want to do that? Well, you're told, oh, my goodness, it's because they want to make money. Of course, there's a lot of money to be made initially the subsidy on a gallon of ethanol was about $1.45. $1.45 to make a gallon of ethanol, when, of course, it uses far more energy to make a gallon of ethanol than it actually produces as far as our cars are concerned. But be that as it may, there is a conscious effort to utilize a quarter of our corn crop to create ethanol. Now, why is that important? Because America, the United States, is one of the few countries in the world that is a massive exporter of corn, which is a basic staple in countries throughout the world. And if we don't have the corn to export, why, of course, it is going to drive up prices elsewhere, and people are going to starve throughout the world. And then, of course, there's real problems as far as the wheat is concerned, as far as the wheat crop. And, of course, there's a blight, some sort of a rust that's got on the wheat in Africa, and then up, in Central Asia, and just wiping out the wheat crops there. Australia, which has always been a large wheat producer, has had a drought for 6 or 7 years, and they're certainly not producing the wheat. And there are real problems sometimes with certain places in South America with the wheat crop. I don't know what's going to happen to the wheat crop in America, but I think this year, or probably within a year, we're going to begin to see the evidence of famine throughout the world. And, of course, this is prophesied in the scriptures from Revelation 6:8, where they look and behold a pale horse, and the rider upon him was death, and power was given unto him to kill a quarter of the population of the world with the sword and with famine and with pestilence, and that's disease, of course, and with the beasts of the world. And I believe these things are coming to pass. Well, since we don't seem to have our guest, let's open up our lines again. Our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. And we do hope we're going to have Mr. Peter Schenck with us in just a moment or two, right here at Radio Liberty. And give us a call, 1-888-24-LIBERTY. Well, this is Dr. Stan here, and hopefully we have Mr. Peter Schenck on the line. Mr. Schenck, are you there?
I am. How you doing?
I'm doing just fine, and Sydney, we haven't had a chance to talk before, but you talk about global famine, so I think this is a very real concern, so we'd like to get your views on that. Would you like to tell us a little bit about who you are, what your background is, and why you're talking on global famine?
Well, we've been working with long-term emergency food supplies for about 27 years. And one of the reasons that we talk about it is because we really don't, I shouldn't say we don't care, but the global famine is only inconsequential to Americans, which are being affected by the global famine, and that our food is being sold out to other countries that are starving. And so what we've got is a situation where we have a lot of people who are well, actually investors who are buying up food, commodities buyers and this type of thing, that are speculating now rather than speculating in oil or land or housing. They're now speculating in food, and it's extremely profitable. Unfortunately, it's causing a tremendous price increase for American families that are, many of whom are unable to buy their food now, afford to buy their food, and it will continue to get more and more a concern as this is not going to stop. The more food that's produced, the more speculation that goes on, and in a world where for the last, well, this is the third year that the planet has not produced as much food as it ate, there will be no end to the speculation, and the prices will continue to go up. This has never happened in the history of the planet before.
All right. Well, I share your concern, and certainly from a purely mechanical point of view, why, of course, we know about the wheat blight, and we know, of course, the drought that took place, and still, I think, is going on in Australia, that's really influenced their wheat crop. They've always been a large wheat exporter. And sort of we talk about what's happened as far as the American corn crop, and of course, right now, of course, we're using 25% of our corn to produce ethanol, which is, I think, a most ridiculous thing in the world. But Sydney, do we have any idea what's happened to our crops, you know, with all the flooding they had in the Midwest? Will we have a pretty good crop this year or not? What are your thoughts?
Well, they're claiming that we'll have a bumper crop, but the mandate, the congressional mandate, requires that we use...
Hold that for just a moment here. Well, this is Dr. Stan. I guess this is Mr. Peter Schenck, and he's talking on the possibility of a global famine. And I was simply asking him about the corn crop here in the United States, corn, soybean crop. And, of course, we heard a lot about the flooding here a couple of months ago. And I was simply asking him, would we be having a good crop this year? Now, of course, initially there were reports that the crop was going to be really, of course, very diminished. And then the latest reports are, oh, there's going to be a bumper crop this year. So you pick up the story, Peter.
Well, my name is Steve, by the way.
I'm sorry, I have you down here. It's Peter with Steve Schenck. Okay.
Yeah, there you go.
Right.
I might just not respond. I'm having a hard time with it.
All right, fine. Well, thank you for correcting me. No, we'll have to get after the people who sent me your material. Go ahead.
There's no problem. The bumper crop that's being predicted is really kind of interesting because we lost 5 million acres in the Corn Belt and in the middle of the country, which is the breadbasket of the United States, as a result of the flooding. And yes, I've heard a lot of predictions. The problem is that we will still have so much of the corn being used up with ethanol, and the questionable crop predictions that very literally our farmers that produce our food will be going out of business. That's why. At the same time that the predictions are that we'll have bumper crops, we also know that if you want to pretend, Doctor, that we actually do have a bumper crop this year, it will not mean lower food prices, because speculators will buy it up as quickly as they can, because every country in the world, the major population countries, China and India, are buying up everything they can get their hands on. And so what happens is speculators here in the United States will buy up every bit of corn and soybeans and wheat and everything that they can get a hold of, and they will hold it, and then these foreign countries can come in with cheap American dollars because of the crash of the dollar, and as a result, they're going to be able to buy that food more effectively than our American citizens can afford to buy it with what to them are expensive American dollars. And so the whole message is this, first of all, sounds very negative, but the positive part of it is that families can actually do something about this.
What can the average family do about it?
Well, they can get back to the basics. One of the things that we have worked with for about 27 years are low-moisture, high-nutrition bulk foods, all the fruits, vegetables, dairy products, everything that people eat. But by cutting out several steps in the chain of distribution and bypassing the commodities speculators, the families are able, if they are willing to get back to cooking their own food rather than buying everything pre-made, they literally can buy groceries at half the cost of last year's grocery prices.
All right, Chris, I think you're absolutely right. Are these foods, are these dehydrated foods? Are they processed in any way? Or certainly, are they ripe foods you're talking about?
They're actually dried from fresh raw.
All right.
They are dehydrated. And if families will be aware of what they can do, very literally we have families that are adding $500 to $700 a month to their budget just by the savings on their food, the food budgets, by putting in these foods and cooking with them.
All right, fine. Now, of course, are you preparing the foods? Who is actually preparing these foods? How are they prepared? Are they being canned? Are they being freeze-dried? Are they simply being dehydrated? How are they prepared?
Well, what happens is when they come from the farms, processors, which are the dehydrators, actually dry them. And then they ship them to the warehouse that packs them for the organization that ships them out. And so it's a very simple, roughly a three-step chain of distribution. And they're canned here in Utah after they've been dried in various parts of the country where the foods are dried fairly close to where they're produced. And they have a 12 to 15-year shelf life, and nutritionally, they're keeping about 92% of the food value that they had in the garden. So very simply, if families become aware that they literally can take control of their food budget, and by the savings that they're able to put in, can actually buy food ahead for next year and the following year, as the prices continue to go up, eventually, Doctor, what's going to happen with the worldwide famine is that any food, any place, will become either so expensive that families can't afford it, or ultimately there will be shortages of some of the items that no matter how much money people have, there won't be any food to buy. And so very simply what families must do is they need to take control of that dependency that they have on food and put in supplies that they have control of. Now, one of the things that is of great concern and should be of great concern to any family in the country is all of the recalls we've had of contaminated food, E. coli in the meats and salmonella in some of the tomatoes or peppers or whatever they've finally concluded that the salmonella is in. And that cannot happen with the foods that we're talking about. Now, many of your listeners are active with their computers, and if they need a lot of articles, there are about 200 or more articles on what's going on with the food supply worldwide and in the United States that they can avail themselves of. If they'll get on efoodsdirect.com, that's efoodsdirect.com, and they can get themselves educated and up to speed as to what's going on. And also they can virtually get the good news of how they can control their food situation. And literally, families that right now aren't able to afford food are able to because of the pricing that is on these foods as a result of cutting out the steps in the distribution chain and also avoiding the speculators.
Now, of course, are we talking about things like apples? Are we talking about raisins? Are we talking about meats? Are we talking about fish? Are we talking about what specific foods are you speaking of that they're able to dehydrate?
Well, not fish, but all the fruits and vegetables, apples and papaya and pineapple. And
You actually have a dehydrated pineapple?
Oh, absolutely. It's wonderful stuff.
All right.
Yep. And they have, of course, raisins, which you mentioned, several fruit juices that are actually the juice of fruit that has been dried. Then, of course, your regular vegetables, your peas and carrots and green beans, potatoes, onions, the things that people eat pretty much every day. Now, with meats, we generally encourage people not to try and store regular meat, but to store meat substitutes so that everything is vegetarian. The reason for that is that when you're on your food supply, if there's any kind of an epidemic or any illness going around, you do not want to be getting your protein from a meat source because it has a tendency to increase the acidity within your digestive system and also within your blood chemistry, and this makes you very susceptible to illness, disease, cancer, and some of these are, as many of your people that are involved in health and nutrition will be familiar, many of these diseases and illnesses are acid-based. And so if you can keep your body alkaline by getting your protein from vegetable sources rather than actual meats, you very literally are bolstering your immune system as opposed to compromising it.
Well, now, what about eggs? What about dried milk, things like that?
Milk, eggs, cheese, butter, all of those are excellent in this dried form. Now, I don't know if you were ever in the military, but these eggs are not like the old powdered eggs that we used to get in the Marine Corps, but they are very simply used just like you do eggs. You read on the can, and it tells you how much water to add, and then you cook with them. Just, you know, you make your omelets and your casseroles and do your baking and everything that you do with a regular raw egg.
All right, fine. So basically, of course, we're talking about the pre-dried food, and but how does this compare with actually buying the food you said out of the regular markets?
Well, it's safer for one thing. It can never have salmonella or E. coli in it. It can't be contaminated. None of it is allowed to be genetically altered. Many of the foods that you buy in the grocery store have been genetically altered, and anyone that's into health and nutrition realizes that many of the genetically altered food are dangerous from the standpoint that they virtually make you walk sideways and one eye travel to the other side of your head.
Well, now, of course, are these packed in nitrogen? Are they packed in the oxygen-free atmosphere? How are they actually packed?
They're actually packed in CO2, which is an oxygen-free environment. And the reason for the CO2 as opposed to the nitrogen is nitrogen is about the same weight as air, and so it'll waft out of the can from the time that you put it in to the time that you get the lid on the can. CO2 is heavier than air, and so as a result, it will sit in the can, and you can get virtually a 92 to 95% CO2 pack, which eliminates virtually all the oxygen. And with the dryness of the food and the additional factor of the oxygen being eliminated, you have a 12 to 15-year shelf life on the food.
All right, fine. We'll be back in just a moment with our guest, Mr. Peter Schenck, talking about dehydrated foods. Have you heard anything about Mountain House, which is, of course, one of the largest producers of freeze-dried food? Mountain House actually is saying that they're not going to sell to the general public their canned goods until the year 2010. Is there any truth to that?
Yes, they have some large government contracts. In fact, their products were developed as a result of working with the government for military reasons. And now, because of the food shortages and things,
Hold that thought. We'll be back in just a moment.
Okay.
You go right ahead there, Stephen. I'm sorry. The computer said I had to cut you off, but you go right ahead.
Okay.
It's Steve, so go ahead, Steve.
There is truth to that. They have shut down all their distributors. Now, one of the things that is not of concern to families is that even though Mountain House is an excellent product, it works very well for backpacking and camping, we very, very seldom encourage people to use freeze-dried foods because of the extended processing that it takes to freeze-dry it as opposed to simply dehydrating it, which is the process that we suggest that people use. You have a lot more additives and preservatives and things that are less favorable for folks, and a lot of the they don't screen for the genetically altered foods, the Chinese imports, the Mexican imports. But like I say, Mountain House is an excellent product. But one of the indicators that we have of the severe shortage and lack of availability of food and the coming virtual famine within the United States is the fact that they have shut down and all of their production has been commandeered by the government.
All right, fine. Now, what is the company? Is it eFood Direct? Is that the title? Is that the company, or is that simply the website?
That is simply the website. The name of the company that is doing this work is the J. Michael Stevens Group. Their website is eFoodsDirect.com. And for the folks that are not computer active, they have an 800 number. It's 800-409-5633. That's 800-409-5633. And any folks that need information can call into that number, and they will be sent a packet that has an explanation of what's happening, some suggested combinations of food and some pricing that that they can make available to them. And also there will be a couple of CDs, recordings of several of the seminars that we've done with regard to food and getting prepared and taking control of your own food supply.
Well, now, what would a can of, say, apples, the number 10 of apples cost? Do you have any idea?
Oh, we very seldom work with individual can prices because no one buys that way. But probably it would cost about half what the same quantity of canned goods in the grocery store would cost.
Do you have any idea what that would be?
Oh, it might be somewhere around the apple slices would probably be maybe $23,
$24. $23, $24 for the can. And of course, when you reconstitute them, they would come back. They certainly swell up, of course, once they're reconstituted. But you do have the butter and the cheese and the other things like that?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. It has everything that a family needs. There are some things that we suggest that people can do more economically local in their local areas, like cooking oil is something that people can buy in the grocery store, and we give them those suggestions when they order their food. We tell them the things that they can pick up, like sugar and cooking oil, that are easier for them to pick up than to have them shipped across the country. But everything else, the fruits and the vegetables, the beans and you know, you've got your cereals, the rice. And
hold that thought. We're going to be back here in just a moment with Steve Schenck right here at Radio Liberty. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and Steve is, of course, talking about something which I think is a very real problem, and that is the very real possibility of a famine throughout the world. And I fear that we're going to see some real problems in America, especially if we see some sort of instability in our society, shutdown of shipping facilities. And most people are so dependent upon going to the grocery store and expecting that all the food we want is there. And of course, even the grocery store usually doesn't have more than a day or two supply on hand. The whole philosophy today of stores is, you know, you get it in as you need it. Don't keep it stocked up here in the store. And so that if anything were to disrupt our shipping, why, of course, we could end up with a lot of stores without anything on it. People could not imagine what it would be like to go to the store and there's nothing there. But, of course, these are very real possibilities, and we think we have to look at this and look at it realistically because we're living in very uncertain times, as those of you who listen to our programs regularly know, and there are actually three more naval task forces moving into the Persian Gulf, be there in a few days, and because they already have two naval task forces. Why would you want all that there at this time in history? Well, we will know very, very shortly, but I think people should begin making preparations. Well, Mr. Shank, are people making preparations now? Do you think that this is, do people have this feeling of the urgency that you feel and that I do? Or are most people sort of sitting back and saying, oh, well, it's all going to be all right, it'll all work out, this will pass too?
Well, there are a tremendous number of people, Doctor, that are taking this very seriously. A lot of them primarily because it's become virtually impossible for them to afford food, and now they're buying in the little two-month packs and the year supplies and actually using them. But as you suspect, as is typical of populations generally, particularly here in America, we've become very lethargic. And so the majority of the people are just assuming that this will all pass. And unfortunately, the wise ones that have the ears to hear and eyes to see, as the Savior pointed out, are in a situation where they're saying, we know it's not going to pass, and there will come a time very shortly when even, no matter how much money you have, there will be no food to buy. And but like I say, the majority of the population probably is completely oblivious to this and just assume that everything will be fine. You got to realize that we're a couple generations away from the Great Depression. My oldest brothers and sisters, because of the nature of our family, lived through the Depression, but the people in the last two to three generations have no concept of what hardship is and what hard times are. And we're in a situation right now worldwide that the planet, the human race, has never been in before. Even if you go back to the book of not the book of Revelations, but Genesis, and look at Joseph of Egypt, you'll find that back then, because of the prophecy and the dream that the Pharaoh had, Egypt put away 7 years' worth of food for the famine. In this case, there is no Egypt. There's not one country on the face of this planet that has a store of food. They are all in the state of famine. The United States is rationing wheat and rice in many parts of the country, and the U.S. Department of Agriculture has pointed out that the cost of meat is going to continue to go up because farmers that need the corn that is being subsidized for the ethanol plants and not subsidized for human food or the production of human food, that corn is going to the ethanol plants, and our farmers can't afford to buy it.
And that's really, that is a very, very valid point, and we've heard this from another point, so I would just emphasize what Stephen is saying is absolutely true. A lot of the farmers and a lot of the milk producers that have cows are actually slaughtering their herds because they can't afford the price of corn, which has over doubled. And, of course, right now the price of meat is not going up, but down the line there are going to be shortages. And I really fear that he's absolutely right. The price of meat is going to go up, and meat and hogs, both of which are corn-related animal products, are going to be going up. And of course, the average American isn't going to understand how it was all intentionally brought about, because, of course, the use of corn to produce ethanol is so illogical. You could do it with sugar beets. You could do it with sugar. You could import sugar very cheaply from other countries and do it. We could buy the ready-produced product from Brazil at a fraction of the price we pay for it here. Why won't they do it? Well, they've either got the stupidest people in Washington, D.C., or we have people in Washington, D.C. who have a different agenda. They know exactly what lies ahead, and they're going to facilitate the fulfillment of Revelation 6:8, and of course, as we see. And we look and behold a pale horse, and the rider upon him is death, and Hades falls short behind, and power was given to kill a quarter of the population of the world. Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, and of course our guest is Stephen Shank. Our telephone number, we'll be putting that out again, is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. Well, Mr. Sank, is this a Mormon company? We've actually worked in the past with Mormons on canning, although we're not Mormons. We've been to the Mormon Cannery. They were very gracious in letting us go in and showing us how they were doing it and actually laying in the supply for Y2K. Is this a Mormon company? Which is fine with me. It doesn't matter as long as they turn out a good product.
No, it's not.
Really, in Utah, you'd first thought would be they'd be Mormon.
You would think so, but no, it's not. It's the people that pack probably the warehouse that packs the food and cans it probably has maybe 25% of the folks that work there are members of the LDS Church or Mormons.
I never knew a Mormon I didn't like. I disagree with their philosophy, but they're good people, and they really, of course, we have Joel Skousen on, who's a Mormon, his whole family are Mormons. He gets on with us twice a week, and we always look forward to what Joel has to say. Very, very understanding, very, very well informed about what's going on. So, but even certainly the Mormon products, I mean, they do a good job in just about everything they do.
Yeah, and the thing is that obviously the organization is here in Utah because originally the LDS folks were the only ones that were doing the food supplies, and what we ended up doing was we had started working with a lot of the Christian organizations out in the East Coast in the Bible Belt. In the Midwest and the East, and it turns out that probably 98% or more of the foods that are being shipped out are going to non-Mormon families that are just aware of what's going on in the country, are very aware of the Book of Revelations and the predictions there, and just any good folks that have good common sense and realize that these times are what have been predicted for thousands of years.
And I certainly agree with you. I think that, of course, our message, I do 5 hours of talk radio a day, Steve, and trying to get people to understand what's going on. We don't always talk about this, but this is always in the back of our mind. And we look upon ourselves as an early warning system for the disaster, I fear, that lies ahead. We'll be right back. Well, this is our just hand, I guess, is Mr. Stephen Sank and Steve Sank. And our telephone number, if you'd like to call him, is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. And, Chris, you know, it's very interesting. We've talked to some other people who actually work in this field producing dehydrated food. They tell me, I can remember the first 3 or 4 months ago, they're telling me that, you know, that nobody was making any preparations. And now, of course, when we talk to them, they tell us, you know, people are just buying, I mean, so much, you know, so that they're having a hard time keeping up with it. Are you running into the same problem, your company?
Not really. There's a difference. We're a co-op, and what we did, we knew this was coming, and we foresaw some of the difficulties with supplies of wheat the rice and the wheat were going to go up cost wise just very, very severely, and so what we did was the warehouses bought ahead quite a few of the items. And as a result, they were able to put them in at lower prices than they are right now, and that's why they've been able to maintain decent pricing. But the other thing is that some of the food storage companies that are retailers really are having difficulty. A lot of them are back-ordered, sometimes as much as 4 to 6 months at this point, and we operate just quite differently in that we foresaw this, and on my radio program and all, we've been talking about the fact that all of these things are coming about, and we told people that they needed to buy food in while they could still afford it, and we took our own advice, and that's why we're not back-ordered. The shipments are going out. Full year supplies, 3-year, 4-year supplies are going out in very short order. They should be out in about 2 weeks as opposed to 4 or 5 months of back ordering like a lot of the retailers are experiencing.
All right, fine. Well, our telephone number is, of course, 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. If you'd like to talk to Peter. Well, Peter, do you work for the company or what's your relationship to them?
Well, the J. Michael Stevens Group was started about 27 years ago. I'm the director of the organization. I work quite a bit with just general information. I am interviewed on quite a few radio shows and talk shows where people need to know what's going on with the food supplies. Like I say, my function is the director of the organization. The administrative staff runs it, and of course we contract with warehouses to can and ship the food. So there are about 3 or 4 organizations that you're dealing with here, but primarily you're dealing, that's why we call it the J. Michael Stevens Group, and I'm basically the spokesman for what's going on, and we primarily are just trying to get a tremendous number of people fed before this thing gets really nasty. One of the things that we deal with is the extent to which people are dependent, is the extent to which they've given power over themselves to that on which they depend. And food, of course, is one of the greatest dependencies. And with the shortages, and of course with the two Patriot Acts, where in the state of an emergency, the authorities will take over control of distribution of food. It's very, very seriously important for families to have their own food supplies in, because when we see situations like with Katrina, where there was serious difficulty with even getting supplies to many of the people, where people who were not able to take care of themselves had to go to gathering centers, we feel very strongly that it's not only the responsibility as family members to be able to take care of themselves, but their patriotic duty to be prepared when we know something is happening, when we know that there's a food shortage, we know that next year many, many more families, even next month, many more families than are unable to afford their food now will be unable to afford their food then. It is absolutely essential that the families who are capable of taking care of themselves, preparing ahead, putting in a supply of food, do so that they can allow the relief organizations to care for those folks who cannot care for themselves.
Well, I think that's a very, very valid point. And I really, because we want to stress the fact that we totally agree with what Steve is saying, that we need to get people prepared for the difficult times that lie ahead. Now, if you're out there in the listening audience, you'd like to call us, the number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. And, of course, we've been talking about this for some time. Now, of course, making corn into ethanol really doesn't make any sense, but it's such an important staple food for people throughout the world. We are the largest exporter of corn anywhere in the world. And, of course, now we're not going to have the corn to export. And millions of people are going to die because of what's going on. People say this could not happen. And I would like to ask, if God is just, why couldn't it happen? Because I would say he's going to bring judgment, not only in this country, but on many parts of the world. Let's go to Jack, who's calling again from Michigan. Jack, do you have a quick question for our guest?
Yes, I first wanted to comment. It's a delight to hear about the dehydration process preserving 90%, 92% of the nutrient content. That's marvelous. And I just want to say, Dr. Stan, in view of the corn debacle, I learned from personal experimentation to use lentils and split peas, and in place of wheat, I'm using rye flakes, oat flakes, I'm using an ancient grain called quinoa, amaranth, spelt, and I've discovered just by experimenting that it can be prepared various ways, but of course it's not dehydrated. So I'm absolutely delighted to hear the good news about this. And my question is, I had learned years ago to eat, if I'm going to do animal sources like fish, to eat really low on the food chain. So I learned about herring, and there's a local establishment that sells, I guess, excess inventory, and they've got this stuff called kippered herring in a can, and I think it's even smoked, and I wanted Peter's opinion of that.
It's excellent. Fish is one of the greatest sources of nutrients and protein and the various essential oils and things like that we need. The fats, I'm sorry, not oils, but fats. And it's excellent. One of the things with any canned goods where it's a wet pack, in other words, where it's not dehydrated, is that the shelf life is not as long as maybe you would want it to be. But the kippered herring, particularly if it's smoked or whatever, has a salt base to it to a certain extent, and the shelf life on that is excellent compared to most canned goods. You get around 18 months, a year and a half, and it's pretty well history nutritionally. Fortunately, proteins do not break down as readily as do vitamins and minerals. Well, minerals don't break down, but vitamins, and so it's an excellent source. Would suggest that people do things like that, and also tuna, if you can find some that is mercury-free and all that kind of stuff.
But. Okay, fine. Well, thanks so much, Jack. Let's go to Tom, who's calling in from San Jose. Again, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY. Stephen, do you have split peas? Are they dehydrated peas, or what sort of peas are they?
Well, you've got both. You've got garden peas, and you can get split peas. We don't have a lot of demand for them because about the only thing people can do with split peas is make split pea soup.
Yeah, well, I remember my mother used to make that when I was growing up. It was always awfully good.
Yeah.
But you have the regular garden peas, and of course I know it's certainly the freeze-dried ones we've had. I just take like regular peas. Do the dehydrated ones taste that good?
Oh, absolutely. In fact, they have lost less nutrition than the freeze-dried, and so as a result, they'll taste closer to garden fresh than anything else you can get.
All right, fine. Well, Tom is calling in from San Jose. Tom, do you have a question or comment?
Yes, sir. Thank you for taking my call. I've never heard your radio show. I was fumbling through the dial and came across it. Two quick questions and one comment.
I know. Tom, how are you hearing us? Are you hearing us on the shortwave, on the Internet, on radio?
I am hearing you on my handheld FM/shortwave radio.
All right. Okay. You're hearing us on shortwave then.
I am, sir.
All right. Fine. Go ahead.
Sure. Okay. Just two quick questions. I've known about, I believe in God, and I'll preface what I'm saying by this, but I've been practicing what's called remote viewing for many years, and I certainly see the end time coming really around February of next year when it starts, when Israel bombs Iran. But my quick question is this. I have about a year's worth of food supply right now, mostly dried food. Do you think a three-year supply would be better? And my second question is, could your guest please mention his website? I'd be very interested again in seeing what he has to offer.
All right, fine. What about, Sydney, what sort of food supplies should people have, and would you give your website out again then?
Well, first of all, if you look at the scriptural famine at 7 years, we are in the third year of this worldwide famine. Many people look at the pyramid timeline, the Inca and the Aztec timelines, Nostradamus, and some of the Bible prophecies, and figure that we probably have about four more years after this one. And so if you look at the Book of Revelations, where it talks about the famine and the mark of the beast, which will be in vogue for about half the period of the tribulation, which is 7 years, which is 3.5 years, it would be very, very wise
to have at least 3 to 4 years worth of food, because at the point where the famine becomes sore, as it were, to use a scriptural term, that people are starting to starve, from that point on it will be at least three and a half years that people are going to have to make it, based on what you pick up from the scripture, and also based on what we're seeing, that's very wise counsel. With regard to the website, where you can pick up a lot of information, become familiar with the products, and order, should this be something that you'd want to do, it's efoodsdirect.com. That's the letter E as in Edward, FOODSDIRECT.com. And for those folks that aren't computer savvy, 800-409-5633. That's 800-409-5633.
Gentlemen, may I make a suggestion?
Go ahead.
My wife is from South America. We are moving to South America next year. We believe strongly, I believe through collective consciousness and my meditation and prayer, that that's going to be the safest place on the planet, East Coast, South America. Just let your callers know.
All right, fine. Thanks very much. Appreciate your calling. And, of course, that was Tom calling from San Jose, and our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. And as I believe we're moving into very, very difficult times. And I don't know that any place in the world is going to be safe. Maybe there's some place that will be safer than the others. But the important thing to do is to begin making your preparations now for the very difficult times that lie ahead, and financially, fiscally, materially, but certainly spiritually, because I think that certainly if we don't have a personal relationship with the Lord, as things begin falling apart, an awful lot of people are going to panic, but of course, hopefully the Christians will be here to minister to them, and of course to minister to them not only physically, but spiritually as well. So understand what's happening. God brings judgment upon nations that turn against him, and certainly this nation has turned against God. And men and women become accomplices to the evils they fail to oppose, and most people in America are too busy enjoying the good life to oppose the evil that surrounds us and is consuming the very heart of our nation. Well, Stephen, we've only got a couple of minutes here before we have to pack up. What are the other messages you'd like to leave with our listeners?
Well, primarily the fact that all of this sounds very doomy and gloomy, but the fact is that if folks will understand that they literally can take control of their food situation, one of the things that we believe very strongly is that if you have control of your food and you have something to eat, some place to stay, and you are independent, then you'll never have to stand in a bread line. One of the things that always happens in any country where food becomes scarce is that if you don't want to be taking the bird flu shot, you had better have your own food so you never have to stand in a bread line, because you will get it. If you never want to give up your guns, you never need to stand in a bread line, because that's the way they collect the guns in every country that they have taken them, by people being hungry, giving up their food, or giving up their children, their property, all of their rights, just to be fed. That is the most dangerous thing in the world, to be dependent and not be able to have your own food. And so if folks will get on efoodsdirect.com or call 800-409-5633, they can get the information that they need and then act accordingly in accord with their own good conscience.
And, of course, you do have the dehydrated food, the dehydrated eggs. Sounds like you've got most of the things that are really needed for times like this.
Absolutely.
And, of course, what's the response you get from as you're getting onto other radio programs? I know we were approached by some of our good friends, Lloyd Carpenter, to schedule you on this program. What sort of response do you get from other programs when you put this message out? It's not a very popular one, is it?
It is for the people that appreciate the message. Those who are concerned with it are very, very appreciative. I believe that we're God blessed more every day than we've ever been in our lives, just because people just appreciate the fact that somebody is there providing food that they can't provide for themselves.
Other people think we're half a bubble off with one oar in the water, a brick shy of a load, and a taco short of a blue plate special.
Well, of course, are you actually suggesting that people actually use this food for the regular meals and start using it right at the present time, or wait until the crisis comes?
I'm afraid that many of our families are going to have to start using it if they're going to eat, because they are not able to afford the food in the grocery stores.
Well, that is certainly true. The prices have just gone up. I mean, it's phenomenal. You know, the price of apples and of pizzas. Do you have pizzas and things like that?
We don't do peaches just because they get very hard when they dry. But apples and various other fruits.
What about apricots? How do they do?
They do okay, but again.
Hold that thought. We'll be back in just a moment.
Okay.
Go right ahead. We were talking about apricots. I mean, I used to love dried apricots, but I just don't know how they would do if they were dehydrated.
Well, apricots and peaches, if you dry them as dry as they need to be for these purposes, they get very hard, and it's hard to bring them back, to soak them back up. Most of the apricots and peaches that are dried that you get in the health food store have a higher moisture content. They're more of a rubbery, kind of a fruit leather type of thing. It has to be drier than that. So apples lend themselves very, very well. Pineapple, mangoes, papaya, those lend themselves very well. Raisins, of course. And
how about dates? How do they do?
Dates do very well, although we find that just by popular demand, there aren't that many people that really like dates well enough for them to take a major portion of their food supply.
No, because I was just thinking it would be something more like for desserts, and so I'll put it on desserts. It's a wonderful taste.
Oh, it is wonderful if you like dates, but oddly enough, these last two generations are not very date-minded. Us older guys have a taste for them, but a lot of people, we used to have dates in there, and they'd ask to be replaced with other items that we had.
What about nuts? Is there a place for nuts? Can you get dehydrated nuts?
No, you can't.
Mm-hmm.
Nuts have a high oil content, which will have a tendency to go rancid, so we're not able to store nuts for long periods of time.
What about rice? Is this partially cooked rice that you have?
Nope.
Is this partially cooked white rice, or what is it?
Nope, it is just good old rice, and you cook it the way your mom and your grandma used to cook it.
And, of course, how long will regular rice last us?
Stored this way with the CO2 and everything, you've got 12 to 15 years on everything that we've talked about so far, the fruits, vegetables, dairy products, and everything.
Right. Well, of course, that's hopefully been 10 or 15 years will be through what's going on, although I think it may last for a good long while. I would hope that in 10 or 15 years that we'd be over the worst of this and we could begin moving back towards some sort of sanity in the world. We've got about 30 seconds to wrap up the program, Steve.
Well, I appreciate that, Doctor. And the best thing folks can do is to get on efoodsdirect.com or call 800-409-5633, and they can get a whole bunch of information that will help them, and they can make their own decisions as to what they want to do.
All right, fine. Well, God bless. I appreciate so much for being with us. It's been a fascinating time, and we'll look forward to perhaps having on some of our other programs at a later date. Our guest has been Mr. Steve Schenck, of course, with eFoods Direct. But good night. God bless. Thanks so much for being with us.
Take care.
Bye-bye. Okay, fine. Well, of course, I really believe there's a great deal of truth in what... Well, this is Dr. Stan, and certainly I believe there's a great deal of truth in what Mr. Schenck says, and of course, we do actually have work with Ready Reserve Foods. If you'd like to get their catalog, we'd be glad to send it to you. Give us a call at 1-888-24-LIBERTY. I just checked on the prices. They seem to be fairly comparable. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. But whether you go to eFoods Direct or whether you get the Ready Reserved Foods through Radio Liberty, the prices probably are pretty comparable. Shipping here on the West Coast probably a little closer. Shipping is a big factor today. And certainly, I think many of the things you certainly will want to buy locally and put up yourself, because the shipping is heavy things, but things like Well, of course, like the raisins and the dates and the apples and things like that. I said they're well worthwhile getting in dehydrated forms so that you'll have the supply of them there and certainly you'll be prepared for what lies ahead. Well, of course, as I mentioned, Mountain House, freeze-dried food announced just within the last couple of weeks, that the government is buying up all of their supplies through 2010. The government is buying up all of their supplies through 2010. Why are they buying up all the supplies? Why aren't you hearing about this? Well, they know something big is coming down, and that's why you begin to better begin making your preparations. And don't put it up, because, of course, you never know when suddenly you're going to wake up and it's going to be too late. The telephone number, if you'd like to get in touch with us and get a free catalog on the Ready Reserve Foods, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, that's 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 464-8295, and we do hope that many of you out there will give serious consideration to getting a catalog, and don't put the things off. You also need to have a means of purifying water, and that's why, of course, the Big Berkey or the Berkey Light systems are excellent to have on hand, whether you use them. And of course, we use ours regularly. If you have fluoride in your water, you certainly want to have one. You do not want to drink fluoridated water because, of course, in most instances, you're ingesting lead and arsenic and polonium 220, as well as fluoride and all the deadly poisons. Why are they putting in the water? Why? Because they believe, first of all, they know it'll affect fertility, but more than that, of course, they believe too many people in the world, these things are all carcinogenic. Arsenic is carcinogenic. Certainly polonium-220 is carcinogenic. Fluoride is carcinogenic. Why do you think the incidence of cancer has gone up from 1 in 33 at the beginning of the last century to the point where we are today with 1 in 3 women and 1 in 2 men? Will contract cancer. Believe me, ladies and gentlemen, there are people out there who have a different worldview because they worship a different God. And if you haven't, of course, heard my talk on Nundare College genocide or my talk on planned population reduction, we hope you'll call us at 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927 and get those DVDs and a catalog, begin making your preparations. If you'd like information on the Berkey water systems, we'd be glad to send it to you. We think it's important you have one or several of these on hand, and also extra filters, because, of course, if there was a nuclear attack, you'd want to change the filters. But you've got to have, of course, potable water. And, of course, then, of course, the hope that many of you want to think about laying in are the health products that you need, the allobiotic, which is a combination of various herbs and, that actually seem to increase the immunity, things like allicin, which is garlic, and oil of oregano, and, of course, elderberry juice. And I think there are two other things in the allobiotic. And we take that along with vitamin D, vitamin D3, about 5,000 units whenever we're coming down with a cold, and it'll usually hold it off. You need to have a supply of health products on hand, so just give us a call if you'd like to get our catalogs on health products, our catalogs on the Berkey products, our catalogs on health, Ready Reserve Food, and, of course, a catalog of all the books and other things we have. And then, of course, we ask you to call 1-800-544-8927, 1-800-544-8927. Please pray for Radio Liberty.